Thanks for coming. All right. Welcome to World Geography. So, I have a couple things I would start out with. Well, maybe I shouldn't say all this. I realized after I committed myself to coming here that I had made a mistake. I was too occupied and too busy, and I am not really doing justice to this class and these classes. However, I think it can be beneficial, all right? So I am here now. I did commit it, so we're going to come, but I'm going to depend on you to guide me into what you would like to hear and to discuss, okay? I do not have a brilliant presentation. I'm sorry, okay? Well, let's go ahead and just stand for a word of prayer, though. Father in heaven, thank you for this day and thank you that you love us. Help us to love other people and to share your love, to be salt and light in this world, and also to realize we have a mission that impacts the world around us and even the greater world. It's yours is the kingdom, and we glorify you for it. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, you may be seated. All right, world geography. This is a two-class workshop, I guess if I can put it that way, two-period workshop. So we're going to wobble some and wander some, and then I'm going to want to bring the strings together as well as we can in the next period. The only way I think I know to begin is to start with a little bit of some personal stuff. To share a little bit of my own journey with this. So, I did not realize this till I was older, but my grandfather loved geography, and then I think my dad and my mom and dad are here, so that's very special. That I also maybe inherited that in my genes, as it were, and had a love, an interest in the broader world. Like, here I am, and what's all this other stuff? And I'd look at the Bible storybook, and I would see these places and pictures and things, and my mind would just kind of wander, where is that, and what's it like? And somewhere I was interested in it. Because I was interested in it, I kind of studied it. And my parents gave me a globe for a birthday gift one time, and there has never been a globe that's been so abused as that one. I looked at it, I studied it, I worked over the countries, it fell and rolled and the stand broke eventually on it, then there was a big bump in the bottom part of it, but it gave it about the right 23.5 degree twist, you know, so I could set it on that bump and it was still good. And we also had a set of encyclopedias. And so I would just look all these places up, and the more I did it, the more interested I became in it. I was a very visual and imaginative child, and extremely lazy as well. And so I would love to dream as I worked, or as I didn't work, and think about these things, and take trips in my head and put countries together. And I got a little bit interested in military history too, and you know, so Napoleon, what if we could join these countries and they could fight against those countries, and what would they use? And it was kind of bloody, actually. I didn't realize what was all going on in my mind, but it was inquisitive. As I began to gain conviction and became a follower of Christ, that interest shifted, and it was no longer about which country would win if it would fight against another one, but it's, you know, how can we reach people? What are they like? What's it like? I became very interested in cross-cultural things and the impact that culture has on us. So the first session yesterday, I always perk up when I hear them discussing culture and you know, what is it and how does it impact us? And it is very deep within us, let me tell you. It's deep, we're deeply enculturated in whatever it is that has impacted us. I did not like children. They were obnoxious and almost as self-centered as I was, almost automatically. And so it was that was a kind of a mess, and I was impatient And I was fairly responsible when it came to work that needed to be done, and most of them weren't. And so it was like, I just didn't, whatever. But I also discovered, as I went to work on the crew, that if you have to do something that you don't like long enough, it really makes you appreciate doing something you do like. And so I was interested in academics and not that smart, really. I was not a gifted student. Kind of slow with some stuff and had some interesting disabilities. But I was very curious and inquisitive, and that kind of lent itself to that sort of a thing. And I was asked to teach at a fairly young age, and eventually did teach at a fairly young age, and I discovered I loved it. And the Lord gave me a love for children. It was not natural. It just came as those young guys came walking in, and I knew, oh, this is going to be work, you know, and I have to instruct them, as I was instructed. I enjoyed school. I didn't like children, but I liked school. I was not ready for what it was like to have these young people. I taught 5, 6, and 7 the first year I taught, and then them to just be respectful and to look at you and then to say goodbye and to leave, and I began to, it was only a day or two. I realized my heart is getting captured here. And the Lord gave me a love for children. Actually, a love for children. I love adults too, and I love young people. I love teaching young people. But I learned to love children. I just thank God for that. That He gave me that special love that is actually authentic. It's not simply instruction. It's a love for children. That's part of my journey. How many of you, is this your first year coming up? Okay, first school year. This is your first year coming up, first school year coming up?
My first year here,
Okay, so all of you have taught school at least 1 year. All right, so my encouragement to first year teachers is find the school, find your way, your place in it. Learn to know your students. Learn to know their parents. You're going to have a lot on your plate. You don't have time for too much extra. All right? As you get a little bit more experience, you can start. It's actually good for teachers to broaden their experience and to intentionally push the borders a little bit and to get a little bit more educated, okay, about it. All right? So I'm kind of glad that we have a lot of experienced teachers here, and so maybe you can use this a bit. What I was a little bit discouraged about rather quickly, not so much that first year, I was just on a tremendous learning curve, and I would share stuff that were interesting to me, and they swallowed it up, and it was good, and all of that. But as I went to my second year then, and I switched schools back to my home community, I began to realize there's something I might have guessed before, but I didn't know it. But as all those hours I spent with the Globe and the Encyclopedia, that was not necessarily normal. And people did not have a clue where things were. And it just shocked me. It kind of, you just couldn't talk about this stuff. And we did have social studies books, and it did teach geography as it went along, and especially like the CLE, the Red Book, the American one, North America is the Lord's. It did pretty well at teaching you the states and even the provinces, but we didn't remember them that well. And then going over the capitals and stuff like that, it would do a pretty good job. And my teachers would make me learn that, and I think other teachers did too. So that was kind of covered. But you start talking about much else outside of that. There was just kind of this vacancy. And maybe it's because world history is such a huge subject that, you know, there are maps in there, but you're kind of, if students are interested in it, they get it, and if they're not, the teacher doesn't have time to impress it on them. And it's just kind of loose and nebulous out there, all right? So I began to think, what can I do to work on this and fix it, and what do I need to do? And I didn't have much imagination as far as finding other curriculums and stuff like that. I just began to think they need to learn this, because this did become, I did become quite passionate about this, and part of my conviction actually that we are too American. We are too American-centered, and I tease Americans about that, and I do tell people now that of our almost 30 years of marriage, the majority of it has been spent outside the United States. And it gives me a bit of a different perspective, but it's one that I realized I was developing even before, and it's specifically from cultivating an Anabaptist worldview, that Christ is Lord, and the United States is not our sole home. By soul, I mean that's not... And I also began to realize that people identify with their nation, and I will say this, I believe the United States is a great nation, right? So, and it has an amazing history, and it's profound and troubled, as others are, right? And I began to feel that we're too nation-centered, and my way of kind of working with that is, well, let's talk about the rest of the world, all right? And just put that on the same kind of on the same level. And what do people think about what do people over here think? Because they're there as compared to us over here. And what feeds them? Well, in order to do that, we need to know about it, right? We need to get that. So I started in a very small way with maps, getting them to fill places out and learn where they were. And then I began to write a course that would, that my goal was to cover all the countries of the world and their general regions and different other things along with that. And get some familiarity here. So my inspiration was often, I'll share my inspiration with you in a little bit. But maybe I will say this. Jesus said, go into all the world. And I thought, what better place is there to prepare students for that than the school? Go into all the world and find, disciple people in my name. All right? And then I love the phrase in Acts 1:8. Where you shall receive power, after that the Holy Spirit has come, and you will be witnesses unto me. And he gives these places, beginning from the center, rippling out unto the uttermost part of the earth, or parts of the earth. Other translations say the margins of the earth. And that is, later I realized that's actually a messianic phrase that comes from the Old Testament, especially the Psalms, where if you look for the margins of the earth, you'll find it there. And that just reverberated in me. I just loved that uttermost parts of the earth. And so there was kind of in my heart, I wanted to go see some of these far flung places of the earth. However, I was relatively impoverished. And travel was a dream. We would go to family events. I remember traumatic family trips to Ohio with the car overheating every time, or something like that. And it was long. As an adult, I think I finally figured out you can't actually go on a trip without a breakdown. It was interesting. So, you know, we went to Ohio, and then I had relatives in Florida, and I didn't, they weren't really intentional travel. I wasn't really noticing things. It's just, you get there, and it's the people, which was a weakness that I've always had. I'm very destination-oriented. I'm going to places, and I'm looking forward to that place. Getting to that place, and then I'm there. It's not getting there that I enjoy. So we might talk about that a little bit more. I want to hear some of your things about where you want to travel and what you would like to see and that, but we're going to discuss that a little bit more next time, all right? What I would enjoy now, maybe I should tell you a little bit more about my course then. So as I worked with my students and pushed them a little bit, Nolan would have been one of my students in Seymour, and then his wife Joy, I taught her all 5 years that I taught there in my first stint when I was there. And then we went to Romania. So here's a tip. Can't afford to travel, become a missionary. You won't be able to travel that far when you get there, but you will get somewhere, you know. For what it's worth, something along that line. Anyway, as I pushed them and as I heard them talking, I realized something. So here is a teaching tip. Do something teaching, something instructional with all your students. Now, it can be devotions. It can be a walk through the book of Acts. But when you have something intentional that you're passionate about that you do with all your students in a group, it helps you to share with them the things that are on your heart and the things that you're walking with right then. It becomes a conduit to them in a way that few other things can be. That you can't do quite as well in math, for example, or language arts, or some of this. Find something that you can do with your students together that is you, your teaching. For me, that became geography, all right? We would gather once a week to have world geography. And I started out with just maps. So eventually I found this book. Are you familiar with a place like Mardell's? Have you all heard of Mardell's? No? Look it up, whatever. It's an educational supply store, a Christian educational supply, Protestant, whatever. There are other educational supply stores. When I first started, Mardell's didn't exist, but there was one. And get a book of outline maps. And they all say you're allowed to copy them as freely as you want inside your classroom, okay? So with just this book, you can do amazing things, okay? And as I heard, I interacted with my students, and I heard my students interacting with each other as they would talk about people and places and how much they hated this, and or kind of like it, sort of actually, kind of hate to admit it, but we sort of started to like geography class. And then I started writing lessons, and then the interactions increased. And I heard one student tell another one about that a person was fussing about geography a little bit. He's so hard on us, and the tests get hard. I'll talk to you about that method a little bit later. But the other student responded, and she said, "You know what? It is terribly neat that when you meet somebody anywhere, on the street, in the airport, if you meet someone and you don't have a clue what to say or whatever, you ask them where they're from." All right? And they tell you where they're from, and it's really good to know where that is. That was a win. I realized, yes, that's it. You connect with people, and you when you're traveling in the airports, like how we can do now, or there's a visitor who comes and they're from a completely different background or whatever else, just open up. Where are you from? And okay, and then you know you have a general idea where that is, and then where's that place? And maybe you know the capital. Are you from the capital? Okay? Often they're not. But you know what? I have never met somebody that's from Uzbekistan or something like that, and if you ask them if they're from the capital, that they weren't happy that you knew the capital. You know that. That's awesome. Now, I don't actually know what the capital of Uzbekistan is right off the bat, but I would go over these things with them, right? And it's just interesting. What are some things about Uzbekistan? You know, and that time they're just warm that you have taken an interest in something like that. The Japanese have a really neat word. It's called Shindo Fuji. Have any of you met that word? Hey, Shindo Fuji. It technically means the body and the earth, but you could say the person and the earth. And you could say the person and the soil, or the body and the earth are not two. Right? Now, it could boil down to the fact that way back in their minds, they're remembering that God made man from soil, all right? And that could have been the beginning of that. That memory could have triggered a word like that. But they also use it to mean that where you grew up impacts you. And you are not ever going to be somebody who grew up somewhere else. This is going to be partly who you are. And growing up in the Ozarks, I know that. I resonate with the Ozarks. I love all these other places. I have been to different places, and my heart goes out to them, and I like it. And I resonate with where I grew up. I realize that is a human condition. People, you know, obviously, if they had very deeply traumatic things and so on like that, that scarred them or something like that. But this is normal. People's minds go back to their homeland, to the land of their birth. And they may never be there again, but there's something special there in that place. And when they find other people who are from there or close to that, they connect. All right. So I'll just tell you another little story right off the bat. I connected with a man from Zimbabwe one time. Okay. His name is Muchingedwa Bogoni, and he lives in Kansas City now. I would suggest that if you live around here, that you look him up sometime. He loves people. It's a long story of how we all got together, and we became a good friend, and we visited about lots of different stuff. But it's so interesting. He's been now probably in the United States as long as, maybe even longer than he was in Zimbabwe, but his heart just warms to that country. And a year and a half ago, I had the privilege of a couple of us going over there with him and watching him just thrive in his native land was tremendously special. All right, it's interesting that this just connects with people. So when I heard this student say, it's good to know where people are from and to connect with them and to warm to them, I think it is a tremendous tool in our witness to have this, and to learn it in school, I think it's very special. Now, I am much more engaged in history than I am in geography, so I love history. I'm not knocking our social studies books and all of that, or the language arts and the math, that's all important, but I became very passionate about world geography, and then as I wrote, as I gradually started writing about, well, we'll talk about, give them a map of Europe, and then we'll write about countries in Europe. And eventually I have put together a program that basically does cover all the countries of the world, along with many of these other places, and then we would discuss them. And then I have taught that year after year, wherever I've gone, and shared things along the way with my students. So, that's my story. That's what I've managed to do. I have not gotten my book to the place where it's able to be published or shared very well. I'm going to share my first lesson with you today. So you'll get a little bit of an idea of what I worked with. I think I will do that. I think we had till three, don't we? Does it end at three? Yeah. So what I'd like to ask you now is, what are you interested in? Did you come to this class because you would like to increase your knowledge of geography, or did you come to this class because you would like to get some pointers on how to teach geography? do you mind telling me? I'm just wanting to know what direction quite to go here. Or maybe you're here like mom and dad because you just want to be here.
Both. I would say too. I love geography too. But mainly because it's the doorway into history and to people, mm-hmm. and all that stuff. But yeah, how do you teach it? How do you teach it? Where you?
So it's a bit of a confusing question for you. How do we teach geography? That's good. Okay. What about the rest of you? Is that a little bit that you would like to teach geography, but I don't know how? Does that make sense?
I don't really know where to fit it into the curriculum.
Yes.
Into my schedule too.
All right.
I'd love to have a geography class, but
so.
That's a whole different consideration.
No, but let's talk about it a little bit, because it's a big one. Yeah. Our schools have gotten pretty intense. Yeah. And especially if you're following something like the CLE program and stuff like that, it can fill your week up pretty tightly. All right? So what I had done in Seymour is I somehow squished it into more or less almost a two-period part of like Thursday or something like that, and I would finish out Thursday with these classes. And I forget what I X'd to do that. Unfortunately, in Seymour, we were fairly loose with some of our stuff, and if you didn't get through some of the curriculum, of especially whether it was social studies or science, that wasn't that big of a deal as long as we were staying productively occupied up to that point. So it was a little bit looser than it should have been. I realize that. And now school boards have gotten tight and intense, and we're going to have to do this by the book and the program a little bit. One reason that it worked with me then is because people found out what I was doing and they appreciated it and they liked it and they supported it. And it's like, if you have to take something else out, well, go ahead and do it, because we really like seeing our children learning these basic things. And it was basic. It was not very interpretive. Like, so what I would do is give lots of maps, 1 week after the other, where they do the same map over again and again, until they can do it by heart. Fairly easy. And in fact, Nolan, you might have been in there. You probably were. I had a time one time and I tried to get them to write a map of Europe by heart. Do you remember that?
I remember doing it.
Yeah, so you sketch Europe, they're not looking at any other map, any other thing. You put in Europe, label the bodies of water around it, and then draw in every country. You should have seen those maps. There were some fairly good ones, and there were some that were not so fairly good. One, it would have been his Chadwin. He got all the countries in, and you know what countries touch which countries. So you put them in, and you kind of just build up. Well, the problem is, and also around the edge, the ocean, the water, you know. Well, the problem was they weren't coming together in the middle. So eventually, he had a map of Europe that he had free drawn. With basically every country in it, but there's this huge gap in the middle. So he called it Europe's Great Empty Spot. It was more of a game than a test. Yeah, and we compared it, you know, and I tried to be fun with it. Like, we'll have matches where you will stand up, all right, and we're going to say the countries of Europe. And you have like 2 seconds, and if you can't think of one that hasn't been said, you have to sit down. And I'm there saying them too, because I could get them in my head as they come along, and then I'm going to have to remember which ones are still left, if there are any left. And then we might do that with 2 teams, and boy, the competition would just sparkle right up, and away you go, and you'd not like to sit down. Whatever, or do it with the capitals. And you can make all kinds of games, but you have to start with learning. And to get that in their heads, you have to get it going. So, what I did then in Baytree, where we have a much tighter schedule, is with permission of the parents and so on like that, because I told them this, I really feel like my geography class, I have impacted more students with a long-term impact than maybe any other class that I've ever taught or ever will teach. So I really want to hang on to this. And so what we did is we called it a social studies class. And we basically dropped, we kind of were starting to work with Living Threads eventually too, and we were kind of having to shift stuff around. And we split up, I think, God's World, His Story at that time, we split that up into a 2-year course. And so it gave us a bit of time to do that. I would do that with all my students then. The youngest ones would not be graded. They would come in and they would fill out the stuff, the papers I would give to them, and then work on the maps. Or I would actually identify the younger ones to do this map, and then the other ones need to do these other 2 maps, and then the high schoolers need to do all 3 of them. For the high school, then it became a credit. You got a geography credit, a socials credit, by doing the whole thing, it took about 2 years to get to cycle through it. Worked pretty good. When I was in Romania, the 1 year then, what we did is, we dropped our socials, and we did only geography for that year, and that became a high school credit for everybody who took it, who did if they did the tests, including a 5th grader, all right? With the understanding that person will have to go back the next year and do his 5th grade socials, and then 6th grade socials. All his classes will have to be done until he gets to the high school, in which case he would do his 8th grade socials class, whatever it was, and that would not count as a credit, even though he was in 9th grade. All right. So it takes a bit of wiggle room to do it. But I would say this, if you can find a slot, even a 15-minute slot or a 20-minute slot a week, and then create a plan to go systemically over the world, or over a continent, like start with a continent, and then the next year, since you're all going to teach many years, yes, you then choose a different continent, all right? And then you'll figure out a way to share it or something like that. That would be one way of thinking about it, but find a little bit of time and cut something else a little bit if you need to. That's my idea. Whether it's the right idea or not is something that you can wrestle with. Okay. Has anybody else taught a specific geography class course is what I guess I'm curious about from a different... So I know Abeka...
Yeah, I've taught.
Abeka has one?
Abeka.
Yes, and what is that?
I think it's just called World Geography.
Yes. Is it a high school level?
I think in ninth grade.
Mm-hmm. Did you teach it just to ninth graders or did you teach it to a number of people?
It would have just been ninth
grade. Okay, all right. So you didn't group your students together. You just, it was like a socials class for ninth grade, right?
Right.
How did you feel about it, their coverage? Having come through mine and prepping through that, so how would you feel?
I was in maybe like the first year of yours before you really did any of the lessons on the peoples.
You were only in the maps, huh?
Yeah.
Oh boy. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So
yeah.
I don't have that reference.
So you were there, I had you 1 year, and then you stayed the second year, and it was in that second year that I really got started
right.
with that. And
right.
then it was after that that I started writing the lessons. Okay. What do you think about that Abeka one? For people here who might be interested in
it. It's interesting. I mean, it's like a lot of Abeka's social studies type things. It's pretty pro-U.S.
Pretty American-centered.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, I would imagine it would have to be.
Kind of like, you know, when it's addressing other countries, especially if they have other government systems and things like that, that if they would adopt democratic government and free enterprise capitalism,
things would be okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So, there are a lot of things that we do appreciate about America. And it is a mistake to think, though, that if other countries would simply copy that
right.
system, that it would automatically work as well or as badly as it has here. I also familiarize myself with the Bob Jones geography course. Has anybody seen that one? I use that as sort of a base, and it was pretty neat. It was a high school course. Are you raising your hand? No. Yes. I'm sorry? Okay, no, this was an older one. It would be like for beginning high school level, something like that.
Right.
Yeah. Did you do a third grade one? What did you think of that?
I enjoyed it. It was U.S. history.
Yeah, so it was
together.
It was focused then on the U.S. as well, right?
But it was, so at the school I was at, there was a lot of ceiling and some of it, and it was, I felt like it was better than the just keeping the students focused.
Good. Yeah, that is nice. The Bob Jones ones I did was for more older students, and it was a world geography course. And I appreciate it. I would use it as kind of, I was working through with my own, and it had kind of it would give you a map, and you would have to know all the countries, but it would specialize in one of them, like kind of a representative of this area. And then, so in the Middle East, it would be Saudi Arabia, for example, and that type of thing. Any other courses that you know of out there that you have some experience with?
CLE's sixth grade language art or social studies is Latin America.
Yes.
All Latin America.
Yes.
So Central and South America and Mexico. I feel like they do a pretty good job. I mean, it's obviously geography and civics.
Yes.
Or, you know, social studies, culture. But I mean, they do have to know the countries and capitals
yes.
and all that stuff to be able to fill in a map.
And so I taught that, and then I taught the North America's Lords. It seemed like they had redone that one, and that one was also, of course, I don't remember how well they covered the Caribbean nations and things like that. What I do remember being impressed with the systematic overlay of the Latin America, well, the Latin American one would.
Yeah.
Would have, that's what the deal is. Okay.
It's pretty and, systematic, and I'd say it's pretty sympathetic to Latin American culture.
Yes. Yes, they do a very good job of trying to convey that, yeah. Right? Yes. And if we could cover the rest of the world in the same way that they cover Latin America and there, it would actually be pretty good.
It would. I wish they had that for, you know, Africa and Europe.
Yeah, and it's not there yet. The world history, the last one, I'm not too familiar with it. When I have been teaching, I've been teaching other things.
Yeah.
And I'm just curious how that works.
It's much more history focused.
Yes.
And not all that much.
And it's so huge of a time, we're sympathetic for that too. So I haven't been impressed with that, with the Latin American one. And what I found with my own course is that students were actually prepped for that. It can really feed each other quite well if there's a lot of information going on back and forth. Okay, why don't we go ahead and start a lesson here? And that will tell you a little bit more about what my burden and vision is for world geography. Now you will need a pen, and I think all of you have folders. This is two papers, not one. So if I would hand you a number of them, just take two and then pass them on. I don't know if you want to, I'll leave one here and you can follow along, okay? You don't have to fill it out. Less in this class.
This is your doing.
Sorry?
So
this is a lesson that I taught, I think at least a dozen times or more than that. What I would normally do, regardless of where I ended the year before, I would start the year with this lesson again. So what I would suggest, as you think about geography. Yeah. So there should be two pages.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And they're double-sided, so it's a four page lesson. All right, so just to give you a few tips and tools again, if you find an outline map book, if you can get them at almost any educational supply store, and if you find, or you can order them online for sure, they're there. Okay, so let's just go through this a bit, and then we will review a little bit. I don't know, we probably won't get the lesson done. Now, one thing I did do is I started figuring out that I don't need to get the lessons done. We would just go through them, and if they got done, great. And if we didn't, we didn't, and then they would still get the homework assignment. So let's see what we can do here, just with getting started, and then we'll take it up next time. So introduction to geography. What I do, this was my style. I read it to them, and then we have blanks to fill in. There's a little bit more reading that's normal because this is normally my first lesson of the first year every year, and so that's why we get going. All right, so no man is an island, no man stands alone is a well-known poetic expression. By the way, does anybody know who said that? So this is something else I do. As I talk over the lesson, I love to give commentary. and bring it in and just throw it in. So does anybody know who wrote no man is an island, no man stands alone? All right, I think John Donne, yes, I think, that's my understanding. So it looks like John Donne, D-O-N-N-E, I think it's said Donne, John Donne. All right, man is a social creature, and yet we often tend to act as if we, both individually and collectively, are the only ones to whom this earth belongs. One of the general, if indirect, purposes of this geography course is to teach you the responsibilities of living with many others in a perishable environment. All of you know how difficult it is when one member of a family does not live in harmony with the others. What we do does affect others, whether it is our immediate family, our schoolmates, our churches, or even and even humanity in general. Of course, my students are starting to wiggle and stuff like that. So I go, hey, what about you think about that, huh? Like, do you think your family gets impacted by that? And they never know when I'm kind of going to veer off at them and when I'm not. And I have had students with learning disabilities. So I'm gentle with them, with the following along, right? I know that. And if they're trying to behave, they're good. Other ones need to follow along, right? So know your students. Another purpose of this course, which goes hand in hand with what was mentioned, is to expand horizons of your understanding, the physical and spiritual needs that other people have, the privilege, resulting responsibility, and temptations of being born and raised in an affluent society, differences and similarities, not necessarily wrongs and rights, of how other societies and our own function, and so on. This takes an awareness of the rest of the world. Something that I have in relation, in connection with great people like N.T. Wright is I love run-on sentences. So you have to realize that I wrote a lot of this late at night or early in the morning, and I have edited it as I've gone along, but the writing is atrocious. That's why I've told you that it's not ready for other people. Like I have given it out to a few select students who took it and who knew what to do with it, but I'm embarrassed by it. But that's what you do as you share, all right? So I'm just sharing. Perhaps the primary goal of this course is to help prepare you for whatever the Lord has planned for you. Maybe someday you will be a missionary in Malawi. Okay, vulnerability point coming up. Who knows where Malawi is? You could instantly point it out at the map. I'm just curious. Okay, yeah, we got one, two, yeah, all right. Okay, it's all right if you don't. But you know what? It is so neat to take a group of tremendously uneducated, ignorant students about this kind of thing and just watch that awareness come, all right? And so I might say a little bit about Malawi and some of the things that they work with there. Maybe you will someday be able to send relief items to flood victims in Bangladesh. Maybe you will someday hear of Christians being persecuted in Uzbekistan and will be able to better pray for them. Will better be, or whatever. You will find that the realities of life are very grim. I always have some students who are following along very carefully, and they love to correct me when I get it, you know, a little bit wrong or whatever. And I get a little irritated with them occasionally. You will find that the realities of life are very grim in many places in the world, and yet as you come face to face with and accept the truths of life, you will become a deeper and better person. You will also find that in many little subtle ways, an understanding of geography will make life more interesting and more meaningful for you. Now, as we would go through this year after year, this got to be fairly normal and all that, and people didn't debate it too much, but yet I did kind of wrestle with it at the beginning. We will be studying about the different countries of today's world, various regions that are multinational in character, bodies of water, different people groups with their specific social practices, and many kinds of landforms together with their effect on humanity. It is important that you fill in the blanks with the correct word. If for no other reason, you can do your homework intelligently and be ready for the many quizzes, reviews, and tests that are sailing your way. I am a firm believer in review, review, review. And I would grill them on this stuff over and over again. And so as they fill it in, then they work at it or whatever. First of all, we start at the beginning. What is the study of geography? The word geography comes from two Greek words. So one is like that. It's sometimes written like this. In Greek, it's like that. So I like to write that up. I love the Greek language, and so that's part of it. The next one is, of course, graphi, or graphe, the eta. When it's anglicized, becomes an eta, so we say e. Athena, for example, should actually be said Athena, but that's been anglicized. So graphi, which of course means a writing. You're all familiar with that. Okay, so I like to play around with that a little bit, and I've discovered that students kind of enjoy being messed with a little bit. So I said, you want to know how this was originally said? So, hey, grafe, right? So, and it's a little bit intriguing. All of a sudden, we're like, for J jumping into ignorance. Like, oh, there's something there. That means something. People wrote that way. And something like that. So learn something and share. Not like, I know so much more than you, although you do. And that type of thing. But as an interesting, I have learned that if you are open and common and just relational with your students, they don't mind that you know more than they do. You can know some specific stuff. In my case, I started studying Greek when I was a teenager. So I love talking about Greek and sharing about it and writing it down, and then there we go. All right, so it can be kind of knowledge puffeth sort of a thing, but try not to do it that way. Try to do it as a form of interest and open the door. There's a fascinating world out there, and it's there to discover. All right, geography therefore is therefore a writing about or a study of the earth. Physical geography is a study of the natural phenomena found in the earth with their systems, processes, and structures. Political geography is the study of the world's nation system. Systematic geography covers all forms of geography, such as topical geography, economic geography, cultural geography, and so on. Today's lesson is an introduction to the terms that are used in studying physical geography. Before we study countries, you study the world in general, like begin to locate stuff. All right. Today's is blah, blah, blah. Before we go into that, however, we need to know, and I know that most of you already do, the basic divisions of land and water that comprise this world on which we live. So I like to talk about the beauty of the earth. You've all seen those pictures of earth from space. You know, you have all these beautiful dots of light and lovely, gorgeous, even spectrum of colors, but there, there is a blue planet, and it's different. That's what we're looking at. Okay, the major bodies of land are divided into seven continents. Listed here in order of size. I'm going to let you look at this. We're going to take it up as we go on. If you want to try to see what you can fill out ahead of time, that's great. We'll go over it, but let's just name the seven continents in order. All right, so what's the largest one?
Asia.
Asia, second largest.
Africa.
Third.
North America.
Four.
South America.
Five. I think it's Antarctica, and I just looked at that. I think that might depend on where, what site you look, or how you judge it, right? But typically in my book, I went to Antarctica, and then I went
Europe,
and then
Australia,
or
Oceania,
it might be said different ways, all right? Which is a huge expanse, but includes all those tiny islands. Isn't it fascinating, for example, that Micronesia is an area of size, is the size of the United States, but if you put the land area together, it's less than Rhode Island. So it gives you an idea of how tiny those little spots of land are out there and what they work with. Okay, we're going to continue our exploration in the next period. Not this coming period, but tomorrow! Okay, until then, enjoy your sailing. We will get into the class a little bit more, and we will talk a little bit more about what we can do to bring geography into our schools, and I will probably review a little bit on why do I think it's important.